This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here from the home studio, TK Show. Very glad to have on for my, or what, our usual or traditional end of season conversation with the Warriors head coach, Steve Kerr. Steve, how are you doing today? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing just fine. I just want to make sure you weren't in Tolbert's backyard anymore. I know you I was watching that ago. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time to be with Tommy. I got to get into his backyard one of these days.
We have a lot of fun together. We've known each other forever, and he's one of my best friends. And yeah, I always love being with Tom.
I did like the you putting that gambling numbers up under his name on the board for Lute. I could just picture you doing that. So yeah. I don't scamp.
Yeah, maybe scamp. Not a great idea.
All right, Steve. Well, let's just do the general stuff first. You know, you've been asked these questions, but it's been several days since the end of the season. I'm sure you've had meetings. I'm sure you've kind of thought about some big picture stuff. As you are further removed from the emotions and everything that went on this just finished season, last season, I guess it is, anything strike you about like what you learned or what lessons or what things that you're going to take from this and bring into the near future?
Not really. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I thought pretty self-explanatory. You know, as soon as we traded for Jimmy Butler, we got really good. And as soon as Steph Curry got hurt, we lost. And sometimes it's that simple. But I really enjoyed the season. I love the run that we went on, you know, at the end of the year. I love the Houston series. The guys were all great. They all were connected and committed. And that's all you can ask as a coach. And when you look forward to going to the gym every day and working with the group and you have success, it's so much fun. So I love this season. I enjoyed it. A lot of ups and downs, but like I said, all in all, the guys were great. And just an unfortunate way for things to end, but injuries are always a part of this stuff.
Yeah, Steph mentioned the clarity that you have now. And that really struck me because I totally understand that and I totally feel that. Like, you know, maybe when you're 24 and 25 or whatever you were in January or late January, early February before the Butler trade, you're not really sure, right? I mean, right. You know, you're just, which way are we going here? Does it have, you might not be thinking this, but others probably are. Like, is this coming to an end? Are we good enough? And then the Butler thing completely kind of just says, this is what we are.
Right.
Did you feel yourself kind of grasping for clarity maybe in the middle of the season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we started out so well. playing 12, 13 guys. And, you know, we made everything early on. You know, Buddy Hield was on fire and Moses shot well. And, you know, it just seemed like we were in a great groove early on. And then I think reality kind of set in. You know, everybody else started making shots against us. And we started scrambling and, you know, made the Schroeder trade. And, you know, we were really searching. And there just comes a point in the season where you're kind of out of answers and, you know, you don't really have any moves to make. And that's why we made the Jimmy trade. You know, Mike sensed it. Joe sensed it. We were kind of who we were, 500 team, and we were going to be fighting for, you know, the 10th spot like we were last year. So the trade was brilliant. Jimmy's one of the best players in the league. I think you could see instantly the impact he made just controlling the games. You know, our defense got way better. We didn't change any scheme. We didn't do anything differently. I just think Jimmy controlling the game allowed the entire game to settle down for us and to get our defense set up. And he got to the line a bunch. Everything just made sense once the trade happened.
It really does underline what stars do, right? I mean, I'm sure you do, but like you had good players. I mean, you've had a lot of good players come through and many of them had been stars, but the difference of a star, you know, just plopping them in that spot, things just go like, you just get organized because of that star. You obviously have a superstar with Steph, but did you anticipate that kind of reorganization with just Jimmy Butler arriving?
Not really. You know, I think Jimmy is, he's a subtle superstar. You know, he doesn't jump off the page when you watch him from afar, from a skill standpoint, from, you know, an athletic standpoint. But as soon as you're with him, you know, for a few days, you see the impact. You see how strong he is, how smart he is, the footwork. He rarely turns it over. And he's so smart. He reminds me a lot of Andre Iguodala. Is the way he sees the game. He's a better offensive player than Andre. Obviously, he's a guy who you run your offense through, which Andre, you know, wasn't really. But they see the game in a very similar way. Jimmy's main thing that he wants to do is pass. And you know me, I believe passing is the key to the game. I really do. And we've always had good passing players on our teams, our most successful teams. Guys who distribute, who see the game, who understand that a good pass, whether it's an assist or not, unlocks an offensive possession. And then, you know, a couple good passes and an offensive possession means your defense is set up and the game is flowing and it's connected. And Jimmy does all that, and that's why we started winning. I mean, it's no coincidence. Below 500 when we got him, 23-8 after we got him, becoming one of the best teams in the league, top five, both offense and defense. It's not a coincidence.
You mentioned the passing, and we were bugging you and Jimmy throughout. Like, is this playoff Jimmy? And he got a little annoyed with that, which I would too. It was just asked too much. Will you carry a team? Like, listen, that sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And Dwayne Wade, not a take meister, right? He's somebody who's very wise and a very reasoned guy. He did mention that Jimmy does want to pass. That he doesn't always want to shoot the ball. Sometimes he should shoot the ball more, especially when Steph was down. And I'm not asking a take versus take thing here, but how much do you have to synthesize? This guy is just – sometimes he just does not want to take an inefficient shot, even if you sometimes maybe it feels like he should. I know you've said don't talk to him. He understands things. But is that just something that has to be kind of baked into what you do into the future?
I just think he's a great player because he's unique to himself and the way he sees the game. This kind of reminds me, this topic of, you know, did Jimmy shoot enough? It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, 10 years ago before LeBron won any championships and he was with Cleveland. I guess it would have been longer than that, 15 years ago, you know, and he's passing to open teammates for game winning shots and they miss. And then, you know, the next day it's like, why didn't LeBron take the game winning shot? You know, it's like, well, because that was the right play and his teammate got a wide open look. That's why. And every player is unique to himself. And I think Jimmy is, Jimmy's an incredible player. But if you want him to score and there's no spacing around him, which was the case for the last four games of the series without Steph, It's going to be really hard to score, especially against you know, a guy like McDaniels with Gobert at the rim. Minnesota just stayed home, even with our guys who you know, aren't our typical spacers. You know, Draymond and you know, Gary Payton and others. I mean, they just stayed home because they just decided we're not going to get beat behind the 3-point line. And Jimmy Butler's going to have to go one-on-one against McDaniels with Gobert sitting at the rim. I mean, it was a good strategy. And there wasn't much space for Jimmy to attack. And we didn't have enough spacing on the floor to give him the, you know, the room and the freedom and the flow to be at his best.
You mentioned that he didn't change systems. He didn't change schemes. He just kind of just plopped right in there. Do you need some roster adjustments, though? Maybe you mentioned the spacing. You've mentioned that you kind of had to go one way or the other. The two-way aspect was not as evident as you've had certainly in the past when you've won championships. We both love the two-way wings. You're not the general manager. I know it's Mike Dunleavy's job, but is that where you find yourself saying, okay, when we're going to improve, it's going to be probably with personnel?
No, I think that's part of it. And part of it is coaching and player development and what we're doing and what we're teaching. I mean, you always have to look at everything from a comprehensive manner and figure out where you can make improvement. And there's improvements to be made across the board. So, but, you know, this stuff is always dictated by the results. So Steph gets hurt and, you know, we lose four in a row. And it's like, all right, well, all the questions pop up. You know, do we need a, you know, a roster shift, all that stuff. If Steph doesn't get hurt, maybe we win that series. We're in the conference finals. Everybody's going, man, what a great roster. So, you know, you just have to look at everything unemotionally when the season ends. And my job is really to think about what we can do as a coaching staff to improve and what we need to do next year with the guys that we have and where can I get better? Where can we get better? Mike's job is to improve the roster just like it is every summer. And we really collaborate on all this stuff and we have a great partnership and he chimes in on stuff that our staff can do better. I chime in on roster stuff and we work together.
Another Jimmy question. We've seen the basketball fit was instantaneous. You mentioned, you know, he shows up that Chicago game. It just seems to fit. Mm-hmm. Personality wise, though, we all know he can be a different kind of guy and he's gone through some things. When did you just know from a person, a human side, that this was going to work? When he arrives, when did you know he's going to fit in this locker room quite nicely?
Well, first of all, Eric Spoelstra told me immediately, said he's going to be great for you. And I know Spo really well from the last couple summers and I trust him and, you know, I believed him and he was right. I mean, within a couple of days of his arrival, I mean, Jimmy was so easy to speak with. He reminded me again of Andre, just the basketball intellect but also the interest in the world and perspective and the maturity It was really fun to get to know Jimmy right away and to see the impact he had on our team and our locker room. And he was an absolute dream. And I know everything that happened in Miami would not have suggested that. But I can only base, Jimmy's impact and his personality and all that stuff on my experience, and he was the model citizen, just an amazing guy to coach, these last few months.
Did you get in any of the domino games, Steve?
No. I don't play dominoes anyway, but if I did, from what I understand, I would not want to play against him. I think he's like world class from yes. What everybody says.
I would imagine. I don't think he loses much, certainly on the team playing or whatever. Let's get to the Kuminga question. You know, you've addressed it. I'll just say, with a player that talented, we all see the skills, the athletic skills, who's been here for 4 years. Is there some just from yourself or the coaching staff, even I'm sure with Jonathan, just frustration? It hasn't quite fit. It hasn't quite worked out yet.
I don't look at it that way. All I do is I coach the team every year and try to put the puzzle together the best I can. It's a tricky one because Jonathan obviously is gifted and wants to play a bigger role and wants to play more. And, for me, it's like, I've been asked to win. And right now he's not a guy who I can say I'm going to play 38 minutes with the roster that we have, Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and put the puzzle together that way and expect to win. Doesn't mean he's not a really good player. Doesn't mean he's not talented. It just means the fit and with the roster that we have, it is tricky. There's no question. And we can talk details. We can talk spacing, usage rate, all that stuff. But the game is about the puzzle fitting. It's about five guys complementing one another at both ends of the floor. All I do is, I try to win. And that doesn't, necessarily mean everybody's going to be happy, whether it's the fans or the players or, management, whatever. It's just, I got to do what I think is best.
I think you mentioned it to the broadcasters going into the last game that Jonathan had not had many rebounds in the previous game. And I know that came up in the Sacramento series too. Like he just didn't like, is that like the lowest thing you need to see him activity is go get some rebounds. Like at the very least, I need to see you get rebounds.
Yeah. I mean, I've always felt like, the type of player JK needs to be is, I've mentioned this in the past, like Sean Marion is a guy who jumps out. And I talked about this JK's rookie year, with his athleticism, running the floor, putting pressure on the rim, offensive rebounds, getting into the dunker, the drop-off pass, from drivers, going up and dunking and guarding everybody at the other end. I think that's, to me, that's what he's really built for. We've really pushed him in that direction. And I think sometimes with young players, there's a process. I mean, I think Aaron Gordon is a good example. He spent years in Orlando where he was, he really wanted to be the scorer and the lead guy and had some success like JK has, but maybe didn't really find his role and find himself until later. And I think that's kind of the hope. I mean, all these guys who come into the league are so young these days. JK came in at 18, 19. So there's a lot of growth ahead for him. I think right now, he is a ball dominant player. I mean, 92nd percentile in usage rate this year in the NBA. That's really high. So on a team with Steph and Jimmy, Steph's going to have the ball. Jimmy's going to have the ball, And so the fit is tricky. There's no question. And what JK and I've talked about a lot, and what we've tried to really hammer home with him is, sprint the floor and rebound and be complementary to those guys. And that's how you can find your role and find more minutes, hopefully that will, that will click and we'll find that place where he can, start to do those things and rebound and get loose balls and be a high energy, possession guy. Like I said, like Sean Marion, like Aaron Gordon, I think those guys are great comps. But young guys take some time to find their place, to figure out the best versions of themselves. And I think that process is still happening.
The guy in his draft class, Moses Moody, very different kind of career or different kind of way he's discussed. That guy, you see him out there. He's always doing the right thing. You've mentioned last year, like he's got to be able to get that shot off a little quicker, maybe be a little bit more decisive quicker. Did you see that this season? Obviously went in and out of lineup, but did you see a noticeable upgrade in what Moses was doing this season?
Yeah, I thought Moses, the last really after the Jimmy trade, he was able to settle into a role that was very comfortable for him and for us, starting guarding the ball, kind of took on the Wiggins role. I think that trade just clarified everything for both Moses and Brandon. And we settled into that starting lineup, and Moses did a great job, you know, high energy defensive player, chasing loose balls, diving on the floor, you know, and playing off of others, knocking down threes. That's a role he's well suited for. And he really had a good year. I'm thrilled that, you know, we got the contract extension done back in October. He's locked in for the next 3 years and had a really good year. Obviously things went south for him a little bit in the playoffs, but that sometimes happens to young players, and great learning experience for him and for us. We've got to figure out as a coaching staff how to better prepare Moses for, you know, what Houston did, for example, putting Şengün on him, changing everything in terms of the chessboard, and, you know, helping him expand his game so that he can play through stuff like that.
How hard or easy is it for you to, you know, obviously Moses is a great guy, diligent, has taken, you know, accepted his role in so many different ways. And then, you know what, we got to go away from you here. Right. You know, like the shot isn't going. You go a couple of games without making a shot. You look tender. Is that a discussion you have with him? Is that an assistant who has it with him? How do you deal with that as a coach, knowing, I mean, we're all going to see it. We're all going to talk about it. Fans are going to go, what's happening here? What's that process like with somebody?
It's
like
no fun, but it's that's coaching. I mean, if you can't have those conversations, you shouldn't be a coach, frankly. I mean, it's everything is about transparency and honesty, and if you can do it in a way that's empathetic and genuine, then I think players respect that, and I think that's what coaching is. But every year, this is the job. I mean, I remember David Lee, my first year coaching, you know, it's like he gets hurt. We put Draymond in the lineup and I'm sorry, David, but you know, we're 15-1 or whatever we were, like, we're going to stay with this. You know, that sucks. I like David, you know, I loved him. I loved coaching him and he had so much success, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to find minutes for him off the bench. Every year there's circumstances like that, either from the beginning of the year or they pop up during the year. JK is a great example of that. You know, once we got Jimmy, everything shifted. And so you have to have those conversations. You have to be really honest, and you hope that the players can, you know, understand what's happening and keep plugging away. And I give Moses and JK a lot of credit because both guys responded well and then played well when we went back to them.
As a player, do you remember any conversations like that you had with a coach or assistant coach about that? And what was the best one? What was the best one you had?
Pop was just awesome with that stuff. And, you know, with the Bulls, I played there 5 years. I was never out of the rotation. In 5 years, I played 20 minutes every single night for 5 years. And so Phil never had to have that conversation with the Spurs. I was in and out, oftentimes out, and Pop was just phenomenal the way he would immediately address it head on, honest, but compassionate. And I model a lot of my coaching style after Pop in that regard.
You know, we know we're looking at this 2-year window. You know, Jimmy signed for 2 years, Steph signed for 2 years, Draymond signed for 2 years. And Steph just said, oh, yeah, and Steve's for 2 years. Now, you're 1 year, but just looking at you, Steve, I can't imagine you not coaching. Maybe I'm making a big overstatement here. You've said that you're happy to go year to year, but can you imagine? I mean, listen, I've asked Steph, and Steph said, no, he cannot imagine another coach besides yourself for him. Could you imagine walking away from this? I cannot. Maybe I'm speaking too broadly, but I just feel like you're in this at least as long as the Curry era. Would you?
I mean, I love my job. I love, you know, working with these guys. And I just know the NBA. I know how fragile everything is. And I know where our organization is. I think, you know, we're at a really interesting spot. I just don't think it's even worth speculating. I have no problem just, you know, coaching this year and then addressing it next summer. I think that's fair to management. It's fair to everybody involved. And, you know, if if they want me back, and you know, I'd probably say yes. I mean, how could I say no to to the Warriors and Steph and Draymond? But I've also learned that there's no reason to even consider what's going to happen in the next year, because none of us have any idea.
But you're going to coach, right? I mean, I just can't see you not coaching. You know, listen, who knows where the world is and everything like that. But I just my watching you through the Olympic process, and I know that took a lot of time, it took a lot of energy, but you always looked fired up coming off the Olympic stuff, right? even the year when you didn't, you know, the World Cup where you didn't win. Did you feel like rejuvenated, or whatever the word is, like re-feeling about what you love about coaching out of the Olympics, out of the seasons that have come after that? Just underline that you want to be a coach. Like that's
I love what I do. And last summer was amazing working with Pop. With Spo and Ty Lue and Mark Few, Grant Hill, Sean Ford. USA Basketball's amazing. And then to coach, you know, one of the greatest collection of stars of all time in Paris, and to win the gold medal, what a thrill. And that absolutely propelled me into this Warrior season with a lot of energy and, you know, new ideas. So I love what I do. I'm not sitting here thinking like, I'm wrapping this thing up, you know, and I don't have the energy to do. I'm not thinking that way at all. I just, again, this is the NBA, and my contract is for another year. So let's just, you know, put that to bed. And I don't want to have any discussions about my contract, you know, for the rest of the year. I just want to go into next year and have a great season, and then we'll readdress it.
Just write The Last Dance on a piece of paper and then show it to a documentary crew, and we'll hear about it in 10 years. One thing I had that you mentioned, Pop, and I've heard this great story, you know, every time he takes people out to dinner, he toasts, you know, to Tim Duncan. Steph and you are essentially like a partnership now. I mean, you've said it, I've seen it. What a guy to be a partner with. That's the guy you would want to be a partner with. Do you sense, you know, there are parallels, obviously, you mentioned to Pop and Tim Duncan, or has it taken its own kind of, you know, way? It's a unique relationship that you and Steph have.
It's very similar. It's very similar. I think Pop and I are a lot alike in many ways. And I think Steph and Tim are a lot alike. And I would say that, you know, Tim and Steph, like if you had to put down names, like who every coach, you know, whoever coached in the NBA, if you asked them to name a couple guys they would want to partner with, Steph and Tim would be, you know, maybe the first two guys. And so there's no coincidence why this has lasted 11 years. I mean, Steph Curry is an incredible partner and an amazing guy to collaborate with. And, he sets the tone culture-wise for everything that we do. And we have a great bond. I think we share a lot of the same values as human beings. We share similar vision of how the game should be played. And we look forward to seeing each other every day. So why wouldn't we, you know, keep this thing going? And why wouldn't we still enjoy this? And I think that's, you know, that's the dynamic I saw with Pop and Timmy. When I played for four seasons with the Spurs, it was very similar. It was collaborative. It was authentic, genuine love and friendship, and a lot of humor, a lot of joy. It's hard to find that. But Steph and Tim are very similar in that regard. They're to me probably the two most collaborative superstars, the most easy to work with superstars that I can imagine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
You mentioned it, like you've had more and more conversations with staff over the last, say, few years. You think that's just because of the state of where you guys are, or has it been because there have been kind of more things you've had to figure out the last few years together?
Yeah, I just think, 11 years together, you just get to know each other better and better every year, and you go through stuff. And, you know, there's probably no better connector than running the gamut of winning championships to missing the playoffs altogether and then everything in between. And that's what we've shared. So we've been through it all, and there's always a level of respect and comfort in knowing that each of us has the other's best interest at heart, because all we care about is winning, and that's all we're trying to do.
Oh, lastly, standard question. I mean, you've had a few meetings, I'm sure. Do you expect any changes to your coaching staff?
No. Yeah. Our staff was great all year. We found a really good groove as the season went along. The new guys, Jerry and Terry, did a great job. And we got a lot of really talented young coaches who I thought blossomed this year. And we're talking about a lot of – fresh ideas, different things that we want to implement next year as the game changes, the NBA game evolves, as our team gets older. In a lot of cases, we've got a lot of new ideas and thoughts for next season that I'm excited about.
Yeah, you mentioned when you brought Jerry in and maybe another that you wanted a couple more former players, right? Guys who the other players knew or maybe even played against. How important was that? How Stackhouse or other, just to have that part of your staff?
It was really important, both to have the gravitas of Terry, the fact that he was a highly successful head coach for a decade in this league, and that just his presence and his humor and his collaboration with the group. I think the guys really had instant respect for him. And then, Jerry's ability to connect with the guys on a level that, frankly, nobody else on the staff can. Not only was he a pro for 17 years, I think, but maybe he was 18, but a great player, an all-star player. And so the way he can communicate with Jimmy and Draymond is different from any other coach. And that was a dynamic we really needed.
All right, Steve, I will end this with a version of a question I've asked you many times before. I ask everybody. I always look forward to your answers on this. Steve, what's your favorite book right now?
I'm reading a book called The Captain Class by Sam Walker, and it's a friend of mine gave it to me, and it's a study. It's kind of you know, a sports scientist, social scientist did a study on all the best sports dynasties in the world over, you know, the last 100 years or so. And it's kind of a study into why teams are able to sustain excellence over a decade or more. And it's fascinating. It really focuses in on the backbone of teams. Bill Russell is one of the guys who is featured. You know, the point of the book is it's not always the best, the leading scorer. It's not always the most talented player, but it's the guys who are literally or figuratively the captains of their team and why they have such an impact on winning. It's really great. I mean, it's a great book. I think it applies to sports. It applies to business, any kind of leadership interest that you have. Wonderful book, really well researched, and a lot of really good nuggets for me, you know, as a coach to think about.
The Warriors in this conversation, or is it not involved?
I think Draymond really applies in a lot of ways. I've always felt that Draymond is, you know, as I've said, the heartbeat of the team. You know, Steph's obviously our best player. But Draymond has driven a lot of the winning. Now, he doesn't fit every category in the book. You know, obviously he's had his ups and downs in terms of his own leadership. I think the common thread between all these championship teams, like I said, the guy chronicles all these different dynasties, whether it's Premier League or, you know, the All Blacks, you know, New Zealand Rugby Club, different soccer teams, NFL teams. The common thread is just competitive force and fire. And that's what Bill Russell had. That's what Draymond has. That's what Steph has, you know, and I just know from the teams that I was on that won, there just has to be a competitive fire that that sort of underlines everything, that enhances everything, that, you know, when all else fails, when the schemes fail and the shots don't go in, you know, how badly do people want it? And if you have enough guys like that on your team, you have a chance to do something special. And I really feel like that's probably the most underrated dynamic of this run that we've been on for, you know, even beyond, you know, my 11 years, I would say 13 year run, you know, where the Warriors have been in the playoffs, you know, and had a chance to win a title year after year. It's that competitive fire, and not many athletes have that level of fire and determination and competitiveness like Steph, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, Clay. That's the common thread, and that's the beauty of everything that's happened here.
That's why I love that stat. Ray Ritter, Steph Curry, and I love that stat. 29 out of 30 playoff series in the Steph Curry era, you guys have won at least one road game.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And including, you know, game seven, you'd won two road games in that series, but game seven on the road, Houston, you've done that multiple times. I just tell, you know, it's from watching you guys up close, watching Steph up close, watching all those guys. That's the special part. The going on the road, knowing you can win a game on the road, knowing you can do that.
Yeah.
The best team. And that's competitiveness. Like
it's competitiveness and it's IQ. You know, You saw in that Houston game seven, it was perfect game plan discipline. I mean, Steph, I think was 0-for-6 for most of the first half. He hit a three with 30 seconds left in the half. It's his only field goal. And we're up 12 because he's handled all the pressure and he's completely taken control of the game offensively by taking care of the ball and limiting his turnovers. And then at the other end, we took away the threes. We took away the stuff that they had started to get in games five and six. And in those crucial, you know, road playoff games, it's competitive desire and it's IQ, and our group has had an abundance of that over the years.
All right, Steve, I thank you so much as always. Wrapping up our traditional postseason conversation. Thank you so much as always, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Everybody, that's the show for today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.